Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
It's time for 5 on. Leila Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We told you what we did already, so let's get into a very, very hefty 5 on It segment that starts now.
Number one.
At the young age of 23, Pete Crow Armstrong is already one of the most voted all-star players in the MLB and should receive MVP votes this year. Question is, are we close to his ceiling? And if not, what exactly is PCA ceiling?
I don't think we're close to his ceiling because he is so young and because I think right now, if you're talking about the calendar date of June 18th, he hasn't been able to put this together yet for a whole calendar year. So until that happens, I think you're nowhere close to even trying to figure out what the ceiling is yet. I also think that if you get older and you're 23, your slider approach needs to change, and that would put him among the real elites in baseball. So when you combine all of the traits and you combine the production and the tools and just the showmanship that we have seen and being able to perform in these big stages, I can pleasantly say that I don't think we are close to his ceiling.
Looking at what the ceiling might be, I'm not sure because we just don't have enough. We've got 208 games. We've got 732 plate appearances. A lot of that time, not the majority or anything, but a lot of that time was before he was sent back down to the minors right, to figure things out. So looking at this year and to understand he's leading the league in WAR at 4.3 right now, he's got the 23 stolen bases and only 3 caught stealings. He's
Wait,
on pace.
Where's your WAR from?
It's
Are
from
you
baseball
saying leading
reference.
The National League?
Yeah, National League.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not putting him in the Aaron Judge category at all. No. League leading. So he's got, you know, an on-base percentage that's, you know, hovering around 300. That's not really at the level where you want to see a guy who has this type of potential at. You want to see that OBP up in at least 330 at minimum, right? But the slug is there. He's sixth in Major League Baseball in slugging at 550. And as long as that slug is there and that speed is on display, and of course we know what he can do with the glove out in the field, he's going to be in the talks for being MVP caliber. And I think his ceiling is MVP. That's what I think his ceiling is. He can win MVPs. And if you can win MVPs, guess what? You can go to the Hall of Fame. So I think that's what his ceiling is. But it's way too early to project out that far.
Do I think Pete Crow Armstrong could have an MVP season? Yes.
Yes.
So you're saying I was a little over my skis when I said he could be the greatest Cub of all
time.
You
wanted them to build a statue for that man, because that's what the greatest players of franchise history get. They get statues, Robbie.
You were basically saying he's better than like Ryan Sandberg or Billy Williams.
I actually looked up, so like I'm out of town stupid and stuff, and I know who Ernie Banks is, but I haven't had a chance to necessarily like look at all of his stats.
Oh, you looked at that, did you?
Oh, yeah. He's pretty good. Yeah, Ernie Banks, very good.
One of the all-time greats, yes.
But I didn't realize like how amazing his numbers were, so.
That's why we have Baseball Reference, so people like you can go and really understand the depth of what you're talking about.
So I apologize for being a prisoner of the moment.
I mean, you also called him the face of baseball on Twitter, and I can't even say that.
Yeah, he's not even the face of the National League. Can you be the face of your league before you're the face of baseball?
To be fair, Robbie's question was, can he become, not is he currently?
No, on Twitter he said he is.
Yeah. Oh, Robbie.
Ray, I appreciate you coming to your teammates' defense,
though. Just saying, he's 23, he's so young, he has all this swagger, all these things that people are dying for in baseball, to throw your bat, to be excited about everything, to be like this like 6-foot person who's not very big, hitting bombs. It's like, how can you not love this person?
Okay, Robbie,
yeah, but that doesn't
that.
Mean you abandon all history, logic, reason, and sports knowledge.
And also understanding probably his best trait is his actual speed, and understand that's going to wane over time. He's 23. He's probably got a good 7 to 8 years
max. I'm not
max.
Putting that in the ether yet. I'm not putting that out
I think
yet.
Michael A. Taylor is still kind of living off of that.
He ain't living off his bat.
Right.
Well, I'm just saying, he definitely, you're right, because he definitely ain't living off his bat. That was more of me saying he's a guy who's batting around the Mendoza line.
The next question.
Number two.
Can this Cubs team still be a World Series contender if they don't get an ace at the deadline?
Yeah, because aces aren't going to happen at the deadline. Like, that's the point I've been trying to make. What? Just get an ace at the deadline. That is, yes, I would love that, but I just don't think that that's realistic. I think they're going to trade for another starting pitcher at the deadline who's in the neighborhood of the ones they have, who needs to eat innings and be reliable.
Is that starting pitcher going to be better than Jameson Taillon?
I would think that that needs to be the request, but I don't necessarily think that that is the supply.
If they don't get a pitcher as good as Jameson Taillon, do you still think they will be a World Series contender?
Yeah, because if they make it to the playoffs in the National League, given what they've done and given their offensive statistics and given the bullpen, yeah, I do think they're a World Series contender.
If they don't get a better right-handed bat option, do you still believe that to be the case?
Yeah, if they're hitting like they are right now, are they like a bona fide? No, but I think they're in the conversation.
I think hitting like they are right now is not going to be good enough when you're going up against supreme left-handed stuff in the playoffs.
6-3-0. You can name every person in the farm system. Paul Skeens is the going discussion is that Paul Skeens isn't available.
Yeah, it's way too early for them to be trading him.
Yeah, we talked about that with Ian Happ. Even the concept is offensive, I think, when you consider that they just drafted him. Like, I like the hope, but I just don't believe that the Cubs are going to trade for an ace at the deadline. Prove me wrong, I would love it.
Okay.
But an actual ace, or an ace on a team that he wouldn't be an ace here? Because that's where I put Alcantara, for example. Sandy Alcantara, to me, is the ace of the Marlins, but he's not the ace of the Cubs. So that may be a discussion in and of itself.
Okay, so the question is, can this Cubs team still be a World Series contender if they don't get an ace at the deadline? I think they could be, but the odds go way down if you don't get a pitcher that is at least as good as Shota Imanaga. I want a guy that's got the ability to strike out 10-plus batters when he takes the hill for a start.
If Chris Sale is available, consider the price on Chris Sale if you're the Atlanta Braves to say, we aren't going to contend this year. Like, just start with that.
Since the Braves are 7 games under 500, I think that we're getting close to, by the end of the month, they should have a pretty good idea that they're not in contention. And I think the biggest thing about the Chris Sale deal is understanding that he's under contract this year, but he has a club option at $18 million for next year. So I think it would cost a lot, but maybe not as much as some of these players that have longer deals.
Also, to trade the reigning NL Cy Young winner, do you understand the price that that's going to be?
Yeah. Pay the price. Just keep getting prospects and keep trading them
again,
to win World Series.
Again, consider what Boston gave up to get Garrett Crochet.
Those were pretty good players.
Well, I think you have to consider age into the factor as well. Like, I feel like who would cost more, Chris Sale or Garrett Crochet? Garrett Crochet is for sure costing more.
Because he's young. I get it.
And on years of control on the contract and
correct.
Such.
Correct, yes. All right, we're on the same page.
And they gave him this money once he signed anyway.
He wanted the extension and he got it. There was about 2 seconds of consternation and then they decided, yeah, you're right.
Number three.
Coming off the heels that that Joe Cowley interview, we found out that AK has probably been extended. Actually, is extended.
According to Joe, yeah.
According to Joe, do the Chicago Bulls have the bleakest future out of any of the teams in Chicago?
No. Unfortunately, I think when the White Sox are coming off of the worst by record season in baseball history, in the sport's history, in a sport that has a lot of history, no. So, yes, did we talk to Steve Stone about some of the pieces that they have put in place? Yes. But unfortunately, right now, it's still a lot of conceptual discussion and not a lot of actual discussion. I'm not as confident about Colson Montgomery. And I worry that the franchise is, and even that alone could derail something if you're putting all your eggs into that basket shortstop-wise. So I don't think that. I think when you're talking about the Bulls trying to build around people and in the NBA, the roster construction is that if you can identify two, that makes your life a lot easier. No, I do not think that the Sox Bulls are the team with the bleakest future. Argue this as well. Given the succession plan that they have announced, we don't even know necessarily, we have no guarantee where the White Sox are going to play past 2029. So keep that in mind too.
I don't think that's really the biggest problem. I think the Bulls definitely have the bleakest future, and here's why. The White Sox, although Layla makes great points about what's going on with them, I will say at least have an understanding of what they're trying to do. I also have an understanding of what the Bulls are trying to do, and I don't agree with it. So I think the Bulls are stuck on the proverbial hamster wheel of doing the same thing over and over, filling up that building, trying to pay players that probably are going to hamstring them in the future when they're trying to get better players, because Josh Giddey can't be the first, second, or third best player on a world championship team. The White Sox at least have prospects and guys that I believe that could be a factor on their next playoff push. I don't see that with the Bulls. Now, that could change between now and the start of next NBA season if it is chaos, as Joe Cowley pointed out to us when we spoke to him, and they are able to make some moves, adjustments. I just don't trust that front office to make the right decisions. I don't.
Number four.
Things got chippy between the Indiana Fever and the Connecticut Sun in the third quarter on Tuesday. The two teams had been physical the entire game, and it escalated after Sun guard J.C. Shelton poked Fever guard Caitlin Clark in the eye while Clark was trying to pass the ball. The two shoved each other as their teammates ran in. Sun guard Marina Mayberry then ran into the scrum and knocked Clark to the ground. Sheldon received a flagrant one, and while Clark Mayberry and Sun center Tina Charles received technical fouls. After the game, Fever coach Stephanie White had this to say.
There wasn't an explanation for the tech that she got. You know, I think it was pretty obvious that stuff was brewing, right? When the officials don't get control of the ball game, when they allow that stuff to happen, and it's been happening all season long. All season long. It's not just this game. It's been happening all season long. This is what happens, right? This is what happens. You've got competitive women who are the best in the world at what they do, right? And when you allow them to play physical and you allow these things to happen, they're going to compete.
That is Fever coach Stephanie White. So the question is, does the WNBA have an officiating problem?
I think they do have an officiating problem, because if you watch the games enough, I think if you watch two or three games, just one to compare against another, there's not a consistent whistle.
It's so inconsistent.
And that's, I think, the biggest issue for any player is they just want to know what style or what you're going to allow and what you're not going to allow. And this is an excellent example of what are you allowing versus what are you not allowing. It should never escalate to that point. And Caitlin Clark, I think, was not... The offensive move wasn't that she got poked in the face. That's going to happen. It's the Marina Mayberry push when it's a dead ball where Clark goes to the ground and you see them have to be separated. And then you see the retaliation in return that happened with Sophie Cunningham as well, trying to stop this. Interesting that the WNBA is being discussed in a hockey style discussion where you're having to have this stuff play out on the court and then somebody else is stopping something else from happening or there's retaliation. But regardless, I've seen WNBA games never really take off in a second half because there were so many whistles that you can't figure out a pace of play. And then you have situations like this where you want to allow physical contact, and it very much happens in the women's game. But unfortunately, you don't know where the line is to stop it. And then you see how it plays out in this way. That's dangerous for everybody involved.
Couple of things here. The inconsistency has been wild when you talk about the officiating. So I get Stephanie White's point. Also, Caitlin Clark, theatrical. Has been theatrical since she was in college. She's a flopper. Everybody knows she's a flopper. And that's just the way it is.
And she's good at it. And that's a skill.
She is, I guess, if good is what you want to put to it, you're right. It is a skill because it has value in that league with the way the game is played.
It used to have value in the NBA.
They could have stopped this. They could have stopped this when Marina Mabry ran through a blindsided Caitlin Clark. Now, I'm not arguing that Caitlin Clark didn't flop when she got hit by Marina Mabry, but she did get blindsided. And Marina Mabry should have been assessed a flagrant foul, too.
Yeah, it was
ejected out of the game.
It was after the whistle.
It was a non-basketball anything. And at that point, it's over. But because she was not, and because the Suns players were doing what they were doing with Caitlin Clark, J.C. Sheldon, she should have seen that coming. Sophie Cunningham does not play. She is about that life. And I applaud her. I applaud her for having her teammates back, because sometimes you have to do that.
But is this all to say that the WNBA has an officiating problem?
It sure is.
Number five.
After winning his second Stanley Cup, Matthew Tkachuk revealed he tore his abductor straight off the bone this year, but still played every game in the playoffs.
Crazy.
What's the most hurt or sick you have been at work?
I mean, I've been sick, like violently ill sick at work, but understanding that I just got to get through this shift. So, perfect example. I was running the scoreboard at the YMCA when I was 12. I had too much to eat before. I was like, I'm going to throw up. I would run downstairs because I was up. It was like, you run up the stairs to where the scoreboard operators. I had to come back down and throw up. And then I go back up, feel good for a little bit while. And then, oh, it's coming again. Go back downstairs, throw up. But you know what? We finished that game. The score was kept. Everything was good. But that's one of my oldest memories of working through it. And basically, I just really need the money. I can't be out here calling out sick when I'm getting paid a tidy $6 per contest. Do you know how much $6 was back in 1990?
Still not enough, but a lot more than it is today.
Yeah. For a kid with no
back
bills?
In my day.
For a kid with no bills? And I just kept throwing up. And you know what? When I got home, I slept for a long time. That's all I remember is I went to bed at like maybe 5 o'clock and woke up the next morning at like 8.
Oh, that is brutal. Yeah, I think for me it was I got food poisoning once after sideline reporting. Mm. And I was supposed to drive back to... The game was in Houston. I was supposed to drive back to Austin, but I physically couldn't make it like 3 feet out of like my bed. So the drive from the hotel I was staying at to a friend's house was one of the most excruciating events that I had to do, because I just to have the wherewithal to check out and then try to even get to the house where I then slept for like 12 hours. That was probably one. But I think for me, it was definitely going to work, unfortunately, or was school at the time and having to college, having to vomit because of pain that I was in. When the pain is so bad that you have to hurl, that's probably not a good sign. And then when you take something and your stomach is so sensitive from the pain that makes you also hurl. That was the situation I was in at the time. I call that cascading effects, where one leads to another. So for me, I think that was the case.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, both of those situations were not great.
I think you're more resilient as a child when you get sick, but when you're an adult, it hits you because it takes you back to childlike just ineffectiveness, if you will.
Yeah. Also, as a kid, you're not afraid of throwing up in public as much, but as an adult, there's a lot of shame involved there. Somebody's going to assume you've made a choice in your life to lead to that, when in reality, it's not always the case. How do I explain the anti-establishment vibe that our next guest is on? He is out to not only talk about, say, the Red Sox and the Rafael Devers trade, and he's got some great information on that, but June Lee is out here to tell us why sports as a whole is broken, and I want to listen. So the great June Lee is next here on Rahimi and Harris on The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is not the outcome that we had expected, and it's forced me to reflect on the interactions that I've had, not just with Rafi, but with other players, opportunities to communicate differently. You know, anytime you get to this point where, as Sam said, you reach an inflection point and you fail to reach alignment, you know, I need to own things that I could have done better.
Oh, it was an inflection point, all right. That was Craig Breslow, the former assistant GM for the Chicago Cubs, now with the Boston Red Sox, talking about the Rafael Devers trade and looking back. And that is a good way to introduce our next guest on Rahimi and Harris on The Score. We go to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline, download the Circa app today, and we bring in June Lee. And the way to put, I think, what June Lee is doing right now on his YouTube channel, the journalist formerly of ESPN, Bleacher Report, Washington Post, is June is on one. Whether it's talking about stories like this or his viewpoint on sports overall, that's the only way I've been able to put it, June. You laugh, but I feel like you're on one right now.
No, I think that's an accurate take, June. I think she described it perfectly.
What do you think?
I appreciate that, guys. I really appreciate that.
What are your thoughts on this Rafael Devers, the latest big thing that happened? Because, you know, it's a 24/7 news cycle, so nothing really can be contained for more than, I don't know, 48, 72 hours. But this Devers thing, because of the ramifications of it and how it's kind of shifting a little bit of power to the San Francisco Giants in that NL West and baseball in general, as a larger discussion and how we treat our superstars, it's interesting to us.
Yeah, I think there's a couple different layers to this that make this story so fascinating. I mean, for me on a local level in Boston, it's really interesting that this is the third star player that the Red Sox have mishandled in the last 5 years between Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, now Rafael Devers. And the lack of communication that's kind of existed between the organization and the player, that has been a massive problem within this team, basically since the Mookie Betts trade, where Mookie wanted to be in Boston. He wanted to be a Red Sox for his entire life, but he never really got that type of communication back from the Red Sox. And when, you know, this is one of the best players of the generation, and when you're not communicating to him that you want him on your team long term, and not kind of planning your finances and the rest of your spending around making sure that he's in Boston, I think that that by itself kind of sets a cultural tone that has domino affected all the way to this moment. And I think that when you take that even a further step back, we're heading into an era where more and more teams across all sports are leaning into the private equity and Wall Street direction of running their teams, trying to maximize profits on a year-to-year basis. And all of this kind of ties into the priority for all of these leagues across sports to grow American sports around the world. And so John Henry right now is in a position where he wants to maximize the amount of cash that the team has, because heading into the next 10 years, it's going to set up the Red Sox potentially to be one of those franchises that is able to grow their fan bases around the world. And that is ultimately why, you know, you see this in Boston. We saw a sale of the Tampa Bay Rays today. But with the Boston Celtics, they recently just sold for $6.1 billion. And the initial sale for that team was funded primarily by this private equity group called Sixth Street. And there's a lot of conversation, even concern, around the Celtics and Boston about whether or not Bill Chisholm, the front man for that sale, is actually just kind of a vessel for private equity money to come into the sport with one of the greatest franchises in the NBA. And so when you kind of take a massive step back and then kind of zoom back in to what's happening with the Red Sox right now, there's a situation where these teams are mishandling the communication, because I think the relationship between front offices right now and players is changing, because they're viewed much more as these like financial assets and investments, more so than players than they ever have been before. And they're crucial for the growth of these teams around the world as we head into the next decade. And so, you know, there's multiple levels to this, but for me, I think on a national level, that's the angle that I think has been most interesting, is how this kind of global growth mindset is now affecting the way that the Red Sox are trying to operate on a day-to-day basis here now.
Oh, I actually made the point last year, June, on this show, that I think baseball is corporate America. When you consider how it is not only refining its product, but losing the middle class, for example. And now you've got this small portion of the haves, and then you have a massive portion of the rookie contracts when it comes to players' salaries. There are so many different comparisons you can make when it comes to watching the baseball game change, knowing the past, and seeing how it is being run now. And you can make a lot of comparisons between what's going on in baseball to its players and to its labor and to the ownership that you can with us. Even the access to baseball is becoming more and more exclusive.
Yeah, I mean, this is just an America thing. This is not just a sports thing. I mean, I wrote about this in the New York Times this week in an op-ed about how the access to sports is splintering across the country because, you know, in some ways, because of the internet, you can watch more sports than ever before. Because in theory, you know, you can have League Pass, you can have Sunday Ticket, you can watch basically any sports game you want. But at the same time, if you want to follow one team, that access is like splintered across five different streaming services. I had a line in the piece there where it was like if you were watching White Lotus and the first three episodes were on Netflix and the second three episodes were on Max and then the finale was on Apple TV Plus. Like, that's basically what it's like to follow a sports team now. And I think that that has bigger effects on community in America, you know, in our local neighborhoods where, you know, people want to follow these teams, but it's harder to do so. And so there's just fewer reference points when you want to talk to your coworkers at the water cooler, or you want to have a group text with your friends. And some of your friends have access to the games and some of them don't. And so you end up just like not communicating as much. And those like small things add up over the course of time. And, you know, sports is one of the few things, you guys know this as well as I do, where, you know, it's a real event happening in the real world. You know, there's not many things that people can really bond over anymore because culture has splintered off so much. But sports is one of those few things that has the potential to really bring people together. But as a result of the approach that the leagues and as a result the broadcast networks and the streamers have taken towards all of this, you know, it's harder to find kind of common ground with people now when sports kind of used to be more of that when it wasn't paywalled in the way that it is now.
Well, June, we're definitely more splintered than we've ever been in the history of society because we have like this accessibility to everything. It's like a plus minus system. What I'm fascinated by, and I'm trying not to be like the old man yelling at the cloud because I'm like, I realize streaming is here. We're never going back to the way we used to watch things. But I do take solace in understanding that there are models out there that could work. And the NFL, I'm out on them because they're just going to do what they do. They're going to solve every last part they can to anybody who wants to pay. But I look at the MLS model, right? And at first I complained about it with the Apple Plus because like, I just want to be able to turn on the TV and watch whatever. But if you can get all the games under one umbrella, like I think Major League Baseball is trying to do, and then you can pay one flat fee and watch every game, how much better off would we be based on what you just said about the way things have been going?
Oh my God, it's the dream. Like, that's the dream, is just being able to pay one flat fee and watch every game, including your local team. Like, I know in Chicago right now, Blackhawks ratings are down, what, 78% because of the chaos around the new streaming service? Like, that's kind of what's happening. It's not necessarily about the big games, because if you look at the numbers for, you know, the NBA Finals were down a little bit this year, but the World Series was up last year. You know, the Super Bowl is continuing to do great. It's not about the big national events. It's about those like day-to-day local events where, you know, there used to be that habit that I feel like people had where you just, you know, sit down on your couch and you turn on the TV, flip through the channel guide, and there was sports. It was kind of easy to be a passive hobby. But now, like, even as someone working at sports, it's so much harder to figure out where a game even is playing now. Like, you have to Google it and do all these other things. Like, you almost need a spreadsheet to figure it out. And so, you know, I think the mindset that is in the Rafael Devers trade is also kind of reflected in the direction of where things are going, where, you know, the leagues are trying to maximize as much money as possible because they want sports in America to be this global phenomenon in the way that, you know, the English Premier League is or La Liga is following, you know, Messi and Ronaldo and all that stuff. You know, I think the issue with the MLS thing is that MLS is at an interesting place where they were basically betting, from my sources over in the MLS, like they were betting on Messi fans from around the world paying to watch and pay for the league pass on Apple TV Plus. The issue with that, though, is that Messi fans around the world aren't interested in seeing Messi cook the New England Revolution, you know? So I think that they were like philosophically almost in the right place, but they almost, I think, miscalculated the way that, you know, soccer fans are actually consuming Messi in the MLS. And from the conversations I've had with some team executives over in that league, they seem to view it as a mistake because the ratings are actually lower, even if in theory the model was kind of, I think, the right way to push for into the future.
Well, June, one of the reasons that you keep churning out opinions and thoughts that I think are incredibly valid, and I believe in the phrase, journalism is sociology and fast forward. And I feel like you're taking a very sociological approach to what we're seeing right now in sports. One of the things that caught my eye was your YouTube channel when you said sports is broken. And this is an audience that wants to hear what you have to say. So how would you explain that to people who maybe hadn't caught your YouTube and hasn't caught your commentary yet?
Well, it's ironic because I just had this Times column behind a paywall. But I think that a lot of sports media right now is stuck behind a paywall. And, you know, because of the cost of living going up. I mean, we were just having a national conversation around the price of eggs. That was central to the election and a whole lot of other things happening. When people are complaining about the price of eggs, it, you know, why would people pay that much money for sports? Like, in theory, this stuff is more accessible. But when you look at the reality of what most day-to-day Americans are dealing with, you know, it's kind of a secondary concern. So it's easy to kind of fall back on all those things. And when on top of that, it's not easy to you know, just sit back and watch sports, it's understandable that people aren't necessarily engaging with it in the same way that, you know, we might be because it's our jobs and we love sports in the way that we do. But my hope with the YouTube channel is I think that there's a big audience for people who want to understand what's going on in sports, to try to bridge like people like us who are kind of hardcore fans in the nuts and bolts in the day-to-day with that like more casual sports fan that isn't necessarily listening to sports radio or even watching ESPN or any of the debate shows, maybe listens to one or two podcasts on the side, but, you know, is a sports fan. They're following sports on social media, on Instagram. They're following the reality shows of all these, you know, leagues, the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NFL. They're following all of this. But sports media isn't really catering to them in my eyes. And so my hope with the YouTube channel is to try to make sports a little bit less intimidating for people to approach and just get a sense for like how these, at least right now, I think there's a lot of people who want to understand how the business of sports works because it's directly affecting their lives. And I think that as sports becomes even more adjacent with Hollywood, kind of understanding how the business side of this works will help you understand why these franchises and teams are making decisions like the Rafael Devers trade that the Red Sox made the other day.
His YouTube channel is I Am June Lee, JoonLee. I feel like we just got started, but unfortunately for us, we have commercials too, so we got to take a break. But if you want more of what June has to say, you can check him out on Twitter, also on his YouTube channel, which I find very compelling. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, June. Hopefully we can do this again because there's other things we want to talk to you about as well. And I am a subscriber to your YouTube channel, so I appreciate the videos that you put out there.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm more than happy to come back and chat because I think there's so much meat to what's going on right now in sports.
Getting into the art and the concepts and the discussion is a really fun time for us. So, June Lee, we appreciate it. Yeah, you definitely need to check out his YouTube channel. Even check out the work he's doing still on Twitter, on X, whatever you feel like calling it. He's there because he wants to be there for other people, and I think that's fantastic. So we have hopefully more with June coming up in the future. In the meantime, we have more for you because there was a very important guest on yesterday right here on the afternoon show. And typically this would be higher up, but thanks to one of his acquisitions, he took a backseat today to PCA. Jed Hoyer had so much to say with the afternoon show on the Score. So we're going to bring some of it back.
Just a little sprinkle for you.
Yes, at least to start. We might do a little more later in the week, but that's next. Jed Hoyer, the GM, the president of baseball operations for the Cubs, saying a lot of truths that I think we need to hear. So that's next on the Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You're listening to Raheem and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, I think the identity of this team, I think, is I think we play really clean baseball and we have really good at-bats. We generally throw strikes. The ball's in play. Our guys, we have really good defenders. I'm mostly impressed with the consistency of the group in terms of showing up prepared to play. I think we've done that remarkably well, and I think that does start with Craig.
That was Jed Hoyer. He's also talking about Craig Counsell there. Jed was on the afternoon show yesterday on Spiegel and Holmes, and if you missed it, you can go back and check it out. It's one of our featured clips. He and Nico Hoerter were both on yesterday, and then amazing things happened in the Cubs game for them to take game one from the Brewers. This is Raheemy and Harrison, The Score. And I think, Marshall, you and I thought after we heard that Jed interview, oh, we're going to have all this stuff to talk about today, but then PCA happened where he made a tremendous catch, and then like a second and a half later, relatively speaking, he then hit the ball to some place in the county. I don't quite know where it landed yet.
He was proverbially on one.
And then everybody loved it, so we celebrated a sports moment together. So now it's happening right now, where Jed Hoyer had some really insightful things that he said to our afternoon show. And I think I want to start with where Matt Spiegel asked him about that Rafael Devers trade, because of its effect on the rest of baseball when it came to the timeline before the trade deadline. We're inside 50 days now of trying to get something done. So let's listen.
Do you think a deal like the Devers one could jumpstart the market? What does it feel like in terms of the time frame of the trade market for this season now?
Probably a one-off deal. I don't think it jumpstarts the market, but I think, you know, there's, as you start to get into this time of year, there's more conversations that are happening, and it just sort of keeps ramping up and ramping up. And usually there's a lot of talk around the draft. People in this industry generally talk around the draft anyway, so that there's always a lot of chatter around draft time. And then really right after, I mean, it's almost like as the draft ends, I feel like that really kicks into gear, and that's sort of how it's worked the last few years.
So we were wondering if there was any incentive if you maybe do a deal at the beginning or later. And he kind of went into that about how at least you have a better understanding of your deal before, if teams don't wait, as if they're sellers or buyers, to get a more accurate case of what you may want in somebody.
I understand exactly why he said that this felt like more of a one-off, because it was such a strange deal. It was such an unexpected thing that happened. The Giants clearly were just trying to make something happen. The Red Sox are trying to move in a different direction with the unhappiness of Devers, although they haven't won a game, I don't think, since they traded him. So there's that. But also, what he said about the Major League Baseball draft, the amateur draft, being kind of the check-in point. And they're doing the combine right now for the MLB draft for those not playing in the College World Series. So that's going on right now. So it is starting to heat up, and understanding they've moved the Major League Baseball draft now to All-Star Week. So like July 13th and 14th is when the draft takes place. So that's just under a month from now. So I'm thinking a week before that week leading into the All-Star break, that's when things are going to really start to heat up. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens between now and then. We're going to have a better barometer, not only on the Cubs, because they play all these teams with winning records between now and then, but all these other teams that are 6.5-7 games back. That's the next three teams in the division, right? And then what's going on in the NL West? Is Arizona, are the Braves still 7 games under 500? There's a lot of things that are going to be happening between now and then to kind of give us a better idea of what, to your point, is available for the Cubs to even go after.
Oh, even look next week. Look no further than the Cubs and Cardinals series next week. I know the Cardinals had a very successful game against the White Sox yesterday, but if the Cubs do big things in that set, could that change how the Cardinals view that team and that group of players? And could they become motivated to become sellers? You know, or would they be further motivated to become buyers? There's a lot of teams on the cusp to where you don't know what their fate is, and I don't think they know what their fate is yet.
I look at next week, this week into that series, because it's a 4-game series, first of all.
Which makes it even more pivotal, I think, in this respect.
Because you want to win a 4-game series, not split a 4-game series of the Cardinals. Like, gain an extra 2 games, bury them a little bit further. And between the series they're playing right now with a young stud on the mound tonight in Mizorowski, and that series, you've got a team that all they're known for is how well they pitch. How well they pitch, the Seattle Mariners. So this little chunk right here is going to be very definitive to Jed Hoyer's needs, per se. If it's just arms, or maybe I need to look a little harder at what we're doing with our offense.
How dare you do that to Cal Raleigh after we just talked about him?
He's one guy. He also calls games, so there's that.
Cal Raleigh and them. Yeah. That's kind of how we're looking at
it. The major league leader in home runs right now. I think he's got 26. He had a home run. He had six RBI yesterday. Cal Raleigh did.
He had a good week yesterday.
Yeah.
But I do think that a lot of those teams also find themselves in a similar position to what we've even heard Jed Hoyer say about his Cubs a couple of years ago. They were at that point. They were at the point where they were trying to figure it out. There was the famous, for example, infamous, regardless of how you look at it, the losing streak that they went on that helped prompt them in 2021 to become sellers. Or therefore, there was also the situation that happened in 23 where they decided they wanted to be buyers. That's not uncommon. But I appreciate Jed telling you about the timing just logistically and how it leads into it. I also think that when we hear so much from, say, the Red Sox and Craig Breslow talking about the importance of communication, we are missing a big piece of this. And that was how Jed Hoyer and Craig Counsell handled talking to Seiya Suzuki about being the designated hitter. So I really want to touch on that as well and what he had to say, because this is an example of what happens. You're seeing it on the field when communication goes right.
That helps knowing the player. Like, you know, we brought Seiya in. We had Craig and I got on the phone with him. You know, we had Zooms with him in Japan to talk about it and to make it clear. And I think that because we had the relationship, I think that was something that we were able to do. And I think it's worked out really well. And he is playing. I think we're trying to get Kyle and Ian off their feet and give Seiya days in the outfield. And he's done a great job with it and he's having a great year. But I do think we benefited from having the relationship, but we were very straightforward and very transparent about the situation. And I think Seiya handled it really well.
And you could say that he is handling it well and continuing to do so when you see how he's producing. Like, that's another part of this. It's not that it's not backed up with action. What you're seeing out of Seiya Suzuki hitting his 18th home run of the season, a two-run shot yesterday, you get that feeling that that communication really did pay off for them.
Seiya Suzuki is having his best offensive season as a member of the Cubs, his best Major League Baseball season. He's on pace to hit 40 bombs. And if the Cubs can get two guys on their team hitting 40 bombs, the sky's the limit for what this offense can do, regular season speaking.
Oh, there's no doubt. And just having that perspective and I think the lucidity from Jed Hoyer helps. You know, he's been with this team so long. And I think sometimes we don't take advantage of those conversations enough. A, him coming from the school of like Theo Epstein transparency, where he will have these candid conversations with you and he will tell you a little bit more about how the sausage is being made. And then B, you have a history with him and you have enough product on the field to then be able to put together with the context he's giving, the examples that he gives.
I like Jed Hoyer's ability to be somewhat transparent in terms of asking questions, but also taking the appropriate step of creating the boundaries about things he will not talk about. That's usually his own extension. That's extending PCA. That's extending Kyle Tucker for our purposes, right?
Come on, as he liked to laugh about.
Exactly. But he understands what everyone is waiting on. He gets it. He's just like, we're going to keep that in-house. And with the Kyle Tucker, he did tell us that's going to be an end of season situation.
Well, and sometimes it's not, you know, depending on the player. So there's that part of it as well. We have more coming up here on Raheem and Harris on the Score. We, many weeks ago, had a project that we were doing where we broke out our NFL schedules. Mine is printed here on a piece of paper for you guys on Twitch. And we wanted to break up the Bears schedule into four categories. And we got as far as the Washington game on Monday, October 13th, because, well, the Seth Wickersham article came out about Caleb Williams, and appropriately, we had to address it. Then a lot of stuff happened sports-wise. So now, we are giving to you the conclusion of us going over the Bears' schedule. We're going to take a look at the games.
We're not going back to the beginning?
No, it's going to be all of it.
Oh, okay, okay.
We will revisit those first games we talked about. We're going to go over it together as a group. You can do the same thing if you want to play along at home. Just get the schedule out and we're going to go over it. That's next. Raheem and Harris on the Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.